Hope everyone is doing all right. Hope everyone had a fantastic rest of the week from Wednesday. I know Alyssa and I were quite busy with different stuff. Her kind of in a healing state, and then us Friday deciding kind of last minute, hey, let's go check out the Grand Prairie Adoption Center because we heard there's no fees, and now we have another little one at home. So we've got another little kitten at home to play with and to let Pixie enjoy having some little companions. So bear with us through that as we're dealing with, again, the growth of little kittens and the struggles that can come with that. Sounds silly when you put it in the context of thinking of kids and such, but it's just kind of how we're at with things. So this morning, I wanted to kind of flow also into next week a little bit. I had sat down and was thinking and reading through Ephesians as I've been kind of working on this side project of mine that I'd kind of do in the evenings. And I was thinking about the armor of God and the power that comes from that and the encouragement that can come out of that section of Scripture. And then, of course, what we've been doing lately with the fourth Sunday mornings, looking at the classic memory verses, it kind of fell into that line as well. So as I was working through these things, I thought, man, I think we need to split this up. So this morning, I would like for you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at verses 10 through 13. And then next week, we're going to finish up with looking at the rest of the armor of God, the armor itself. But this week, I've entitled the lesson, The Battle's Coming, as we look at the buildup to the armor of God. So Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be starting in verse 10. Now, when you read through the book of Ephesians, of course, you find and see that it's full of instructions. Instructions on Christian living, especially in the last three chapters. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are just very heavy-handed with Paul's instructions for Christian living. You see, in chapter 4, he advises of growth and spiritual maturity, both as individuals and as a church. You see there how to use the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to them, has given to us. How to use those to minister to one another, to encourage one another, to help each other grow. In chapter 5, you see the importance of laying aside our old lives with the goal to imitate God, to live in the light and not in the dark. And he finishes chapter 5 with a very long but very poignant look at how the marriage relationship is supposed to work. It's a very classic place for preachers to go to talk about marriages, and especially when you're doing a wedding, to go there and to pull wise scripture from there. But then the beginning of chapter 6 flows straight from that. We're starting with children, obey and honor your parents, for that is the first command. Then following right up with fathers, good instructions on how to raise your children, how to keep them close to the Lord. And then how masters and slaves, employers and employees are supposed to react with one another. And how you're supposed to react between you two and God. Now these instructions, they are challenging enough to do during times of peace. But unfortunately, this is just not the case. The Ephesians, it's not the case for Paul, and it is not the case for us. As we live in a time of turmoil, both sometimes literal and spiritual. This is a healthy reminder to the Christians of what was in their present and what's to come in their future. And it's a call for us to walk, to look at our spiritual walk, and to look and see, are we walking and behaving appropriately? But thank the Lord that Paul left us with good instructions. Paul tells us here how to win those battles, how to progress positively during these times of unrest. So we're going to start in verse 10. Finally, he reads, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand on your ground on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, by fitting your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace. And all of this by taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And to this end, be alert with all preservation and petitions for all the saints. As I said, we're going to look really, I think, this week at the first four verses, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And next week, I want to dig more into the rest of the armor. So let's start. Because the battle is coming, as Paul is telling them. The battle is coming. Look at verse 10. He gives the command in verse 10. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Be strengthened is where he begins. It's a call of encouragement. After all of these instructions, reminding them, this is a lot to do. There's a lot of things that everybody here is going to have to be following and paying attention to. These past few chapters, you're going to fall into one of these camps. You're going to have something that you need to be working on, growing on, learning from. But finally, be strengthened. This may have sounded like rebuke, but be strengthened. Because of what's coming up, the only way to win, he's going to say, is to be both strong and renewed in strength. In fact, your version may say, instead of be strengthened, may say be strong. Both of those phrases, either way, come together well as that sign of encouragement that you have to be both strong and renewed in your strength to go on. And it's a call to a reminder that we need to be greater in strength than the foes that are about to come and wage war on us. Be strengthened. And then he says, be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. And he says this because it's so easy, I think, for us to try to find our own strength in ourselves. To say, I can deal with my problems by myself. I can handle the challenges of life on my own. But the funny thing is, the Lord says, I am here for you. Funny thing is, he says, I have put you in a family. I've put a family around you to help you. You don't have to do these things alone. In fact, look over in Matthew chapter 14. Look at Matthew 14. And look at what happened when someone tried to use their own strength. Look at Matthew 14 and start in verse 29. We should be familiar with this story. It's Peter walking on the water. Peter is very encouraged, has this awe-inspiring moment when he sees Jesus on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, order me to come out onto the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. You see Peter's strength there. You see the strong faith that he had. Seeing Jesus walking in the storm, walking on the water, and says, come, and he gets out of the boat and he walks. But then he takes his eyes off the Lord. And he puts his strength back on himself instead of Jesus. And in verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And he started to sink. and he cried out, "Lord, save me." When you rely on your own strength and the storms of life, it will wear you down to the point where you will sink. And you can't do anything by yourself anymore. And all you can do is reach out and call out, "Lord, save me. Somebody save me." We have limited strength in ourselves. There is limited strength in me. But in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says you don't have to find strength in yourself. There is strength in the Lord. It's an unlimited strength. It's an all-powerful strength. The strength that will always be there will never let you go. Stay in Matthew 14. Look at verse 27. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. Actually, go back to 24, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, the boat, already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. And as the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." You see in picture the storm wrapping all around them. The Sea of Galilee was actually known for its storms that would just run down the mountainsides real quick and just cause minor, pretty much hurricanes. Hurricane-esque winds and situations. It is not pleasant to be on that sea when those are happening. And they are terrified. Because the last time this happened, the Lord was with them in the boat and calmed the seas. But now here they sit in the middle of the sea. And the Lord is not with them. And they are afraid. But Jesus walks out to them to save them. And look at verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they went up in the boat, the wind ceased. Strength in God was shown to them because Peter was dragged out of the water, brought back to the boat. And as soon as they stepped into the boat, everything calmed down. The winds and the waves stopped. And the strength of the Lord was shown there. And you see in verse 33 there, those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Ephesians chapter 6, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. In his power. Paul is reminding them that here that this battle is spiritual in nature. The things that are happening are going to be spiritual in nature. How good would it be to have physical strength in a spiritual conflict? If you've ever watched any of those shows, like, or maybe imagine Ghostbusters, how you couldn't physically wrangle the ghost. What happened when they tried to physically wrangle one of the ghosts in the library? It attacked them and they ran out screaming like little girls. Because they couldn't do anything physically to this spiritual being. And here you see that we have to overcome spiritual conflicts by spiritual means. And that's by being strengthened in the Lord through His power. We've mentioned him a lot recently. Think about Samson again for a moment. He relied on his physical strength to get him out of almost every situation. Ripped a lion to pieces when it attacked him. Killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. When Delilah continued to tie him up, he continued to rip free until he finally told her his secret. She cut his hair and he couldn't rip it again. But notice something, that Samson trying to rely on his physical strength, his physical prowess. Those things could not stop his lust and his immorality and those problems that he suffered. But you see, when he worked with God, when he partnered up with God, the very end of his life, he finally fulfilled his purpose, the purpose of the judges. And he freed the nation from the Philistines' control by collapsing the temple upon the leaders and upon himself. But the important reminder here, be strengthened in the Lord and in, through His power, is that God wants to share His power with us. He wants to share that strength that He possesses with us. He wants to make it our own through Him. Stand with the Lord in strength. Then you see verse 11. You saw the command, now you see the action. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He begins with action. He begins by telling him, suit up. Suit up. Get ready. This is the call to fight. It is a call to fight, to clothe yourselves. He's going into these battles spiritually naked. He's foolish. Going into physical battle naked and unarmed is foolish. You are literally writing yourself a death sentence. What's important here is to note that as he's going to continue on, he has given us the tools. He has given us the guide. He's given us the instructions on what we need to be doing and what we need to be putting on. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, those shoes of readiness for the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit. He's given us those tools. And he's giving us a level and a time to be prepared. This is a reminder to them. Clothe yourselves. Come prepared. Don't go into battle unprepared. Don't go in unfitted, missing pieces. Come in ready. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they stood before Nebuchadnezzar after not bowing before the golden idol, they came prepared to pay the ultimate cost. They came prepared and were spiritually armed with faith and trust in the Lord, the knowledge that what they're doing is right and honorable. He says, clothe yourselves with the full armor of God. He tells us how to suit up, how to become prepared. Come in armor. Now, this image was very familiar to those individuals. Roman soldiers were a very daily part of their life. This was very real to them. They could see and know exactly what Paul was talking about. You see a couple of different pictures of these soldiers. This was their outfit. This was their uniform. Helmet, breastplate, greaves, shoes, a shield, a strong belt to hold up their sword, a spear, a strong sword. Their armor that you see here, this is the top of the line. This was considered Roman invincibility. And when the soldiers went out to fight in their centuries and fought in their phalanxes, they were deadly. And at that time, they were unstoppable. You could not beat a well-armed, properly trained, properly suited up Roman soldier. But what's important to remember here in armor is that not just any suit of armor will do. And for these soldiers, they couldn't just borrow their brother's armament. It needed to be your own. Think about this what happens in 1 Samuel 17 between David and Saul. Then Saul clothed David with his own fighting attire and put the bronze helmet on his head, and he put the body armor on him. At that time, that was the top of the line armor. Saul was putting David into what he thought was the greatest thing possible to preserve David's life, to give him a fighting chance against Goliath. And David strapped on his sword over his fighting attire, and he tried to walk around, but look in the yellow, but he was not used to them. And David said to Saul, "I can't walk in these things, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Remember, Saul was a head and shoulders above everyone else, probably including David, who was a young, relatively young man at that time. Saul's armor was meant for him. It was meant for the king. It was meant to go out and fight in a certain way, a certain style that was not David's style. It was not the way David was trained. This armor was not fit for David. So what does he do? He takes it off and he sets it aside because it's not right for him. When we put on our armor, we need to make sure that our armor is right for me. It's custom fitted for me. It's ready to go for me. It's something I've worked on and put together for myself. And he tells them back in verse 11, "Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." He says, why? Why we're doing this? It's so we can defend ourselves. Because Satan does not just idly sit by. 1 Peter 5:8, "Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, is on the prowl. He is constantly hunting. He is constantly searching. He is looking for someone to devour. He does not take breaks. He is looking to wage war, and he's doing it in a specific way." Chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil ones." He's looking for the weak points. He's looking for what causes us to struggle, and he's going to throw those precisely. And if we come out wearing the wrong armor, if we come out trying to wear someone else's armor on top of ours, or on top of ourselves, the darts are going to hit properly. If we want to stand a chance, if we want to stand a chance to survive spiritually, be strengthened by God and suit up properly. You see verse 12. You see in verse 12, now the situation. We saw the command, we saw the action, now we see the situation. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." You see the situation here, first off, of who is not being fought. The fight is not against flesh and blood. Now that may have been a head scratcher to the Ephesians the first time they read that. Because to them thinking, well, Paul, reflect on the last time you were here. What happened the last time you were here in Acts chapter 19? You had the silversmiths riling up all the people, causing them to riot. Because you are preaching and teaching that our gods are nothing. What we're doing is nothing. You're stealing our money away. To the point where the Ephesian church had to say, "Paul, it's probably time for you to go on for your safety and our safety. The last time you were in Ephesus, Paul," at least that we have in the book of Acts, "it was not a peaceful time. How can you say, Paul, that the fight is not in flesh and blood?" And he says, he continues on, "because the true enemy is those of darkness, those of the evil ones." he's advising them, I think, here, remember your duties to the world. Because while we are to put on the armor of God, we can't become an armored turtle to the world. We can't let ourselves become reclused inside this armor and keeping us away from those who truly do need the gospel. We have a duty to teach. We have a duty to lead. You have to remember, the knights, soldiers of old, they did not wear their armor 100% of the time. They wore it when they needed to wear it. They wore it when their lives dictated it to be worn. But when they were around their friends, when they were around, as far as knights would say, their people they were protecting, they didn't wear that intimidating, heavy, scary armor. They were real, and they walked among their fellow people. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to be aware all the time of what's going on, but we need to be aware, though, that not everybody in the world necessarily is our enemy. And if you treat them that way, well, this building will become very empty very quickly. But we need to remember who we are fighting. That's the majority of verse 12 is who is being fought. In fact, when I was reading this verse, it reminded me of the story of Don Quixote. Of how when he got out and started on his little miniature crusade, he imagined he was fighting giants. When in reality, he was jousting windmills. And causing damage to himself, damage to his reputation, damage to the windmills all around. He lost focus on what was really his goal. And to the world, he became quite a fool. Because he was not fighting the correct opponent. Paul tells the Ephesians, he tells us here who we are to be fighting. He says, those who are evil and do evil things towards God and His people. That is who we need to be defending ourselves against. That is who we will be in spiritual conflict with. And He advises us we need to know who these individuals are, so that we're not caught off guard, so that we know how to stand strong, how to be strengthened, how to stand firm. How to be ready for when they do come, because they are coming. And then we see in verse 13, the end result. You see the end result. The command, the action, the situation, and finally the end result. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day, and having done everything to stand. So stand firm. He says, take up the full armor of God. Take up the full armor, because it makes no sense. It makes zero sense to go into battle missing any piece of protection. Imagine going into battle. Imagine a modern soldier deciding to go over in Afghanistan, to go into conflict without his helmet on. Or to go out without wearing his Kevlar armor. To go out into those hot sands without wearing his thick combat boots. To go out without his weapon? You're going out to the field of combat without your weapon. It makes no sense to go out and to do those things. But yet we can see so many people in our lives setting one piece aside because it doesn't fit their life right. Because it's either become uncomfortable because their lives are changing, or it's just not important to them anymore. Imagine going out and trying to fight without a sword, without your defenses. It makes no sense. But there's another reminder here that God does not want a soldier, a citizen, child who is not 100% invested and prepared for combat, prepared for the kingdom work, prepared to stand firm. He's not looking for a part-time Christian. He's looking for a full-time soldier. Someone who's going to stand full-time for the gospel. And I keep saying to stand because that's the next part. To stand. That God wants us on the front lines. He doesn't want us hiding out in the back. He doesn't need us hiding in our tents, hoping that the enemy won't come and get us. They are coming. And they will come. And we need to stand strong. But stand and be active, not just in the fighting. Look, Mark 16:15. He said to them, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a command to the apostles. It's a command that comes to us to go and to preach, to teach to everyone. And you see what happened in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. After Saul comes in and begins to persecute the church, now those who've been forced to scatter went around proclaiming the good news of the word. They were being persecuted. The battle was coming to them. And they still went to the front lines knowing what could happen. And they preached and proclaimed the word. These Christians on the run still stood on the front lines. Jesus calls us salt, and he calls us light in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16. He calls us salt to be flavoring the word, to be flavoring the world, something appeasing, something that everybody should want to add into their lives, into their daily actions. Be salt. Be appealing that way. Be light. Be something to draw people into you. Be that source of growth, source of encouragement, a source of hope. Be a proper example. Be salt and be light. And then he ends in verse 13 with a call for completion and fullness. So you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day and having done everything to stand. On the final day, there will be a call of completion, a calling of fullness. Are we well armed? Are we prepared? Or are we going to be caught off guard, missing a couple pieces of armament which may cause us problems in the end? And as we wrap up, there's just a couple pieces of application I'd like to pull. We've hit on some of them, but I'd like to talk about them again. Our take-homes from this morning to think about for the rest of the week. First off, we need the Lord to lead. Back in verse 10, "Be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of His power." Let the Lord lead in our lives. Don't focus on your own strength. Look what he says, Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply your every need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Let God lead because he will take care of you. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, "Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you." Let the Lord lead because he will take care of us. Let the Lord lead because I may lack the strength for myself otherwise. Times get hard. Peter was willing to walk on the water. But when the situation became fully realized to him. What happened? He began to sink because he didn't have full strength and trust in Jesus. Sometimes we want to fight our temptations on our own. We're ashamed. We don't want to share with the Lord. We don't want to share with our brothers and sisters. We want to fight this on our own. But if my willpower is not strong enough, what happens? I fall right back into it. If my willpower isn't strong enough, I fall away from the Lord. We need God's guiding hand, holding ours, sometimes to help keep us going. Let the Lord lead, because He loves you and wants to take care of you. Second point you see up there is our armor needs to be our own. We're going to talk about this some more next week. But I want to hit on this right now that we, each and every one of us need to forge our own armor. I can't wear the armor of my parents. I can't wear the armor of you all. You can't wear mine. Remember David and Saul. Remember that great armor for one is not necessarily great armor for me. Remember, forging is not easy. If you ever get a chance and go to a Renaissance fair, take a couple minutes to watch, and they got it a blacksmithing demonstration. And you'll see the heat, the sweat, the exhaustion that can come from forging armor, from taking that time to custom create a specific piece for a specific individual. Because when forging is done properly, when it's done wisely, we will have a great defense that will stand strong when the flaming darts are thrown at me and at each and every one of us. Your armor needs to be your own. It needs to be ready for you. And lastly, please do not go out missing any piece of your armor. It does not make sense why any of us would want to or be willing to go out unprepared. You don't go camping without all your needed gear. You don't go camping without all your food, without your tent, without a sleeping bag. We've all probably done this. Ever tried putting a set of IKEA furniture together without instructions? It's convoluted, it's chaotic, it's a mess, and it will take you two to three times as long if you just had gone through the book and put it together as it was intended to do. And you should not have a missing piece. But God gave us tools and the knowledge on how to be fully prepared for everything that is coming. And to go out missing a piece of your armor, go out without your sword, without your shield, that will lead to your spiritual death. Please do not go out missing a piece of your armor. If you feel that this morning you are missing a piece, that a piece of your armor has not been forged properly, is not there, or that you need it repaired, you need it brought back to you, brought back to us, we offer this chance now as we stand and as we